This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Let's get over to Alice Alvey. She's live with us right now. So good to have Alice here. Alice is the CMB Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage, and she's got this week's legislative update. Alice, it's hard to stay out of politics sometimes when you see some stuff going through the Hill, but we try to focus in. I like what Rob talked about, parts of what they're proposing, I mean, at least the housing stuff for the mortgage industry, but some of the other stuff, I just, oh, man, what are they thinking?
Yeah, I was going to mention it, just make sure everyone picked up on what Rob said, and actually your comment afterwards that it doesn't look like the House Bill 6800, the HEROES Act, is actually going to make it through the Senate or be signed by the President, even though it has in it what we as an industry really need. So we'll wait and we will watch that to see if some alternative gets put on the table. As of now, I don't see, you know, a lot of times there's a companion Senate bill where if there's stuff they don't like in the House bill, they'll come up with some type of companion bill where they've made the necessary edits. And so far, I don't see anything specifically from that. The House has presented other bills. So, for example, you know, some people do or do not like the student loan provisions in the HEROES Act. There's another House Bill 6720 that's just targeted at the student loan forgiveness for healthcare workers, for example. So there may be a newer and different approach that instead of trying to do trillions of dollars at one time, maybe Congress as a whole realizes there needs to be some more well thought out, you know, bills that people can digest in a reasonable period of time and actually make things that are effective. Because we've all heard some of the challenges that have come out with these large amounts of funds that have been distributed already. So more to come on that. As far as legislation related to housing, you know, the pieces that we needed are sitting in that HEROES Act, and somehow we've got to get them out of there and included so that they get their own visibility. Now, another thing Rob said that's really important to separate, though, he did bring up about the Federal Housing Finance Agency payment deferral option, which is very big, is not part of the House bill, is just a separate thing for the Federal Housing Finance Agency that will allow Fannie and Freddie to accept a payment deferral. So if your customer chooses to go into forbearance and have the, you know, three or so payments put on hold, now they're going to allow that those funds can be due and payable at the time the house is sold or reaped or the loan is paid in full. They're, in other words, kind of like a triggering event of when it would be due, as opposed to having to go through a full modification where the borrower now has to, you know, potentially end up with an increased housing expense or a lump sum payment that's due immediately. So that was really good news, keeping in mind that's just for Fannies and Freddies. That's not the case for our Ginnie Mae's. Our Ginnie Mae's, it's still the issue of, remember, the loan still has to be insured or guaranteed. So even though once it hits pool stage, it could have a potential one-month payment, it can be 1 month down as long as it's insured or guaranteed. So you still got to make sure your ops are on pace very quickly to get those loans insured and guaranteed right away after closing. It's one area to not forget as we get super busy. It's real easy to forget about post-closing and not give them the resources they need to stay on top of that. One last thing, Dave, is income calculations are still constantly being discussed. It is a daily thing I see from a lot of lenders and on the MBA discussion boards as well, where people are thinking that the gap due to COVID is something I can leave out of my income analysis, and that is not the case. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. You have to include it just like you would any other gap in your mathematical calculations for averages and income. And you have to now have extra concern about the stability once they've returned to work or once their business has been permitted to reopen, especially in self-employed. So don't look at this as, oh, it's COVID's fault, right? Or it was a natural disaster's fault, and I can leave that out of how I calculate or determine stability of income. Think of it the opposite. I now have more burden of proof that now that they're back, it's stable and will continue. So just a reminder to everyone, since we're still seeing a lot of conversation, a lot of people think the agencies haven't given guidance on it. In my view, they actually have. They've said, do what you always would have to do to ensure the borrower has the ability to repay the loan. So that's my 2 cents for today, Dave. Back to you.
Good job. Have you have any knowledge, Alice, on with those loans that are in forbearance about the advance, the responsibility of the lenders making advances? Because they at this point, Ginnie Mae's doesn't matter. I mean, we have the fund, the PTAP fund that they can access. But as far as advances, I said, even though the forbearance is going on and they can put the payments that are being that are involved in the forbearance on the end, that's good. But the lenders still have to make the advances, and that's the part that's this thing continues. That's going to be the pain for this industry. That's the ongoing hangover that we may be that we're. Or the, I don't know if it's a hangover. It's well, we got a serious cold. this is bad news for this is that not good for the industry. So we still have to deal with that, and how long this continues, especially in your old state. So this is going back to the things we were talking about in a couple previous podcasts ago on your segment, talking about the states that are. Have a tendency to be more democratic in their leadership. Not again, not trying to get political with this podcast, but it's the fact. If you look at them, it's almost all Democrats that are going into, whether it be at the city level or at the county or at the state level, that are keeping people in a stay-at-home status and in not opening up businesses. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out state by state, and especially as it relates to the mortgage lenders in there.
I think one thing I want to clarify, too, I did, after our podcast where we talked about that, you know, the prevalence of it being a Democratic governor, I did do a lineup state by state of the state governors and then line that up against the COVID number of cases.
Yes.
So it does happen to be that out of, like, at least at the time I did this, it all changes every day, is the list of top 10 states happen to be, you know, the states that were also traditionally or currently Democratic governors happen to also be the ones with the top cases in the biggest cities. You know, so there's a little bit of some of it just, it happens to also be related to the severity of the illness in their region. So just a little bit there. I don't disagree with you.
Good balance.
The challenges, but it's important to kind of, we always say, look at all eight sides. So any case, that's, I just wanted to throw that in there. And your comment about the Creditor Facilities Act, that's in the HEROES Act. So as far as to lenders and getting that financial relief, that's still up in the air to the extent that we really need.
Yeah, something we really need. You do a good job of covering all this. And thanks for pointing it out. I don't want to be too hard on the Democratic governors because I have so many friends that are Democrats and out there that I don't want to think I'm just bagging on them. There is some statistics, some data, but I tell you, I'm looking at the states that are getting back to action, and like here we are in Texas and other states, and it's encouraging. So anyway, you moved out of Michigan, and you're now in a friendly state. At least it's getting pretty decent there. So. Yeah, so good. Thanks for being here, Alice. Don't mean to drift off into politics, but I have a tendency. It's an election year. It's going to be hard to stay out of that territory too much as we go into this. But appreciate you being here each and every week, bringing us the legislative update. Thank you so much. Before we go, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, CMLA, Community Mortgage Lenders of America, Indicom, Incelerate, Ainsworth Advisors, as well as Mobility, as well as Modex, who are our guests today. We thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Check out all of our sponsors. We want to continue on talking, but we're out of time, folks. Have a great week. Look forward to having you back here next week. And share this podcast, please, with your friends and associates. Appreciate you.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week. Thanks for listening.